and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What so proudly we watched at the twilight's last gleaming.
What?
What?
Huh?
Huh? All right, Christina, that's what? 6 minutes
bless
after the
hour. Bless her
heart. Oh, bless her heart.
At least she sang it live. I will give her
I'm
that.
I'm the only one in the country that liked burlesque. Loved it.
Yeah, you are.
All right. Back to lip syncing now. The national anthem at the Super Bowl.
I will give her credit. She did not lip sync it. So that's good for
her. Well, and that's what comes of not lip syncing. You know I lip synced this entire show just to be safe.
Yes, you did.
All right. Go Packers! Woohoo! Go Packers. Why? It's same thing I base every sports thing on. Because we have an affiliate in Wisconsin and we don't in Pennsylvania.
Right.
All right, sadly for us. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Hey, has AOL called? Do they want to buy StephanieMiller.com?
No, but the chat room wants to know when you're going to buy the New York Times.
Let me see what kind of pocket change I got. I would do that just for the so I could. I would technically own Frank Rich.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Did you hear this? The Huffington Post is AOL to buy the Huffington Post for, let me carry the point over to $317 million. $1 million. I'm never going to be able to get Ariana on the phone again. Darling, I cannot come to the phone now.
She's taken on a leadership role at AOL now, too.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Rock on. And there's been no calls at all for StephanieMiller.com?
No.
Nothing?
No. Not
well,
one.
All right. You can still email us there.
That vast media empire is still sitting there on the auction block.
All right, you can still email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Another big Monday show, by the by. Rude Pundit coming up in less than half an hour. But he's got some thoughts on, among other things, the Reagan-palooza, the Reagan-gasm they were having, particularly on Fox News. Dear God in heaven, it is really, it is.
Do they not realize that he raised taxes?
Granted, how many millions of illegal immigrants, amnesty, I don't know. One in zero nukes.
He raised taxes every year of his presidency except for one.
I don't get it.
And he was divorced. How's that
for
family values?
Oh, my God. All right. So, lots of, it's hard to keep up with you Mondays. I'm a little, what's the word?
Cattywampus?
Drunk was what I was looking for. I was at a big Hollywood Super Bowl party, as you know.
Did you spill wine on Christine Lottie again?
I did not. That's the only, I don't know. As you know, I never know till Rebecca starts getting the calls as to what I've done. I don't remember. But I was
and the disinvites.
I was at the things disinvited that I was invited to in the future.
Right.
But no, I was at Robin Michelle Reiner's house. Yay. Can I just say, that's the largest television screen I've ever seen in my, they have a jumbotron in their, I assume it's because he's a big Hollywood director. It's technically a screening room, so it's probably a movie screen, really. But
was it a projector or was it like an LED?
I don't know anything technical. I just kept making jokes. I was like, do we have to watch this on this crappy little thing the whole time? Do you need me to fix the rabbit ears?
I'm sure they appreciated that.
They couldn't get enough of my stupid jokes. and I was sexting their son, who's at Syracuse University. Jake, I have a little crush on him.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a little confusion because he thought it was his mom because I was using her phone. And so he thought he was like, do not ever text me that. And she's like, it's Stephanie Miller. It's Stephanie Miller. It's not me.
Well, you didn't say when you sent out the text that...
but he was confused because then he thought it was his mom writing him and it was me.
Oh, okay.
So it caused a little... See, I always cause some sort of international incident whenever I go out because I don't go out very often.
Right.
They only invite me because she said I thought it'd be perfect. It started at 3, and I was like, yes, that's my kind of party. Anyway, a good time was had by all.
Oh, good.
All right. Okay, so what else is going on? Oh, Egypt, for God's sakes. See how short our attention span is? There was a puppy bowl.
I know.
There was a great Pyrenees. Look at the great Pyrenees puppy in the puppy bowl. So I just, we have an attention span, don't we? We're kind of like, I don't... Egypt, can I really? I forget that. Can you imagine if we had to stay in the streets with no internet service, yeah, no snacks?
But at least the banks opened for the first time yesterday. Yes. So there is a sense that things are getting back to normal.
Yes. Well, good then. I don't. I watched John Kerry on, what do you call it, Meet the Press yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said he is encouraged by what he described as rapid and dramatic events toward the departure of President Hosni Mubarak.
Yep.
He said, tally up what has happened in the last 12 days. He noted Mubarak has promised not to run. In September, he has engaged in a dialogue with the protesters. He's now promising to remove the emergency law, which is a major, major opening of the door to the democratic process, allowing people to organize, speak, meet at the cafe. I think that's the beginning. The most important thing now is to guarantee the process is in place where there are free and fair elections. Parties can organize. People can campaign. He also said his son's not going to run, correct?
Right.
Mubarak should make clear what the timetable is, precisely what the process is. If that happens, this could actually turn significantly to the good and the promise of a better outcome. Jim Baker, who was there, actually agreed with him. He said he concurred with Kerry's upbeat assessment of the overall situation.
See what happens when you urge regime change through diplomacy rather than through the barrel of a gun?
Well, here's the thing. Rude pundit, among others, everybody's got an opinion about mm-hmm. how the president should be handling this and yada, yada. But I read one piece that I thought was the best about, and we've said this from day one, that this is, it's tricky. Because first of all, I guess, you know, the best point, this guy, who is he, co-director of the Middle East Task Force, mm-hmm. he was saying, you know, he believes there are some legitimate constraints on what Obama can prudently do. He said to start, he doesn't have the power to make Mubarak leave.
Right.
America has leverage, but it's not decisive leverage.
Right.
So I think the point is, can you imagine, I mean, how that could backfire if the president did demand that and then he goes, screw you? That's essentially what this guy's saying. He said it's possible Mubarak will hang on till September. He said right now it looks like the regime is trying to play a game of digging in and sitting this thing out. That means a call by Obama for Mubarak to leave office could prove unsuccessful, which would be disastrous for America's negotiating power going forward. If you play that card unsuccessfully, there's not a lot more you can do. You're very limited in your next escalatory move. Yeah, I mean, then what? What, then we're going to go in militarily? Like, what do you, you know what I'm saying? It's just...
Not to our best, Arabic... Yeah. Ally in the Middle East. No,
yeah.
Not going to do that.
The president, in a press conference, the president denounced the Egyptian government's acts of suppression and violence, called for an orderly transition process right now, but as he has throughout the crisis, he stopped short of demanding that he leave right away, because I agree with that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That really could backfire. I mean, that could be the exploding cigar if, you know, Mubarak says no. Then we're, you know, then we look, then we've really, this is what, what's his name? Daniel Levy, Middle East expert. He said it would also further damage America's already diminished reputation on the world stage. The more assertive America is but fails to carry the day, the more exposed the limitations of its power become. The reality today is a diminished American power. How much do you want to prove it? So, but it seems to me, you know, we're still in a standoff because the protesters are saying they're not leaving.
Right.
I think the other thing I was listening to someone else this weekend talk about is like, it does take some amount of time. If he leaves today, like what, that's almost the most dangerous thing.
Vacuum.
That's what I'm saying is that's almost the most dangerous thing is to have. Because the other thing is that you look at whether it's Hezbollah or Hamas, when we have rushed elections in the past, then you might get the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't give it a second to let, you know, legitimate other parties form. Mm-hmm. So, it's a little too complex. Frank Richard, another great piece about, did you notice no one knows what the hell they're talking about?
Yes.
We didn't know anything about this.
Including Americans, us.
Yeah. I started at Yuck Yuck. Suddenly a story like this breaks, and I'm like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't,
And suddenly Kathleen Madigan becomes
an
Egypt.
I do this for a living, and I'm like, well, I don't. Because it's true. You've got to study, like, what parties are involved, you know, how much, to what degree it is or is not like mm-hmm. around 1979. And it just, you know, and if everybody had the exact right answer, this wouldn't be as difficult as it is. So, yeah. Whew, that's a, listen.
So this is best left to the professionals.
Thank God we have interwebs now, because, you know, if I had to, we were back in the days of my Encyclopedia Britannica, this would take longer for me to figure out what the hell's going on, so I can explain it to you.
Didn't you love how the Encyclopedia Britannica was, like, outdated by the time you got it? You know?
Yes. And your parents didn't care, because they spent good money. They're like,
right.
Just go use those. We don't know.
Because those things were over $1,000.
I know. I know. We had them.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I hated them.
I think I had one from like 1974.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was using it to write papers in 1986.
Oh, I just was cribbing just like furiously.
Yeah.
I was plagiarizing more than Ann Coulter. I was just, you know, I just would whole hunks right out of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Okay, the president.
I believe that President Mubarak cares about his country. He is proud, but he's also a patriot.
By the way, a lot of very smart, politically active people at the Super Bowl party yesterday.
Mm.
Were they talking about Egypt?
No. Putin says no.
No. They all wanted to know if I know if Boner's actually having affairs or not.
Oh, how would you know?
I don't know how I'm supposed to know. I apparently,
we read the same Inquirer that they do.
I read the same National Inquirer you do. All right. The president again yesterday.
The key question he should be asking himself is, how do I leave a legacy behind in which Egypt is able to get through this transformative period? My hope is that he will end up making the right decision.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, lots more to talk about the Reagan-palooza, what's going on in Egypt, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Let the good times roll.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free. Check it out. You'll never go back to meeting in person again. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. If you'd like to spend less time with your coworkers like I would,
yeah,
you don't want to. Have you forced to see them for a certain amount of time, then...
Have you used your GoToMeeting app on your iPad yet?
I have not. You need to... I need
do
to
I need to download
yes,
that
yes,
for you?
Yes, you okay. need to show me how to do the thing, but
with
okay.
The, yeah,
with
okay.
The, okay, thank you. All right. Oh, and also, speaking of fabulous sponsors, the best phone calls today will get ProFlowers
yep.
$50 gift cards.
We have two to give away today. So
yes.
the two best phone calls of the day, at our discretion, will
yes.
get those gift cards, so...
And that's kind of a relative thing on a show that is so devoted to mediocrity. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. $50 gift certificates for ProFlowers. It's almost Valentine's Day, for God's sakes. Get on it.
Hell to the yeah.
Please don't do that ever again. Thank you.
Sorry.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, fast breaking news out of Egypt. It's hard for me to keep track is what I'm saying. Egypt's vice president, Mehdi, he's a torture guy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Met abroad. Oh, by the way, Dick Cheney, a big Mubarak fan. Did you hear that this weekend?
Saw that.
Yes.
Best friend we could have in
yes.
the
don't want to know.
Middle East, he said.
And when's he ever been wrong about anything in the Middle East? Oh, boy. You know, when I was going to try and do the Pantland Free Month, but then, of course, she has to go and cast herself as Reagan and... say and criticize the president on his, you know, because with her vast foreign policy experience, she'd be doing much better
of
at
course.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. So there, we've mentioned her 75 times already. That's only, what is it, February 7th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Egypt's vice president met a broad representation of major opposition groups for the first time yesterday, offered new concessions, including freedom of the press, release of those detained since anti-government protests began nearly 2 weeks ago, and the eventual lifting of the country's hated emergency laws. Two of the groups that attended the meeting said this was only a first step in a dialogue which has yet to meet their central demand, and that is that Mubarak go.
Hmm.
Now.
Now.
Okay. The president.
Egypt is not going to go back to what it was. The Egyptian people want freedom. They want free and fair elections. They want a representative government. They want a responsive government. And so what we've said is you have to start a transition now. Mubarak's already decided he's not running for re-election again. His term is up this year. And what we've said is let's make sure that you get all the groups together in Egypt, let the Egyptian people make a determination. What's the process for an orderly transition, but one that is a meaningful transition?
Oh, that's so refreshing that we don't have to go to war for a regime change, that we can suggest it and it happens.
Well, but this is, again, this is the sticky wicket we find ourselves in. As I was saying, this, you know, the Middle East experts saying, first of all, we don't have the power to make him go.
No, we do not.
Today.
We never have.
And so that's the thing is, like, if you go back to the old, you know, saber rattling and blustering of the Bush administration, then we just look silly and powerless.
Yeah.
And in need of Cialis, the president.
We can say that the time is now for you to start making a change in that country.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I don't think people get, that one thing is just in black or white, Chris, is that, you know, if, like you said, if there's a vacuum, that could be the most dangerous thing in the Middle East. If there's, you know, because then what? Then you have nothing in place before, and again, you know, if you rush things, you may end up with a result that you really don't want.
That's exactly what happened in Palestine.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. Yes.
Concrete steps that people who are engaged in it and looking at it can believe is moving toward an outcome that will permit an orderly establishment of the elections that are scheduled for September. And that takes some time.
By the way, let's hear from a torture guy. This is the Egyptian.
Yeah.
Egyptian VP.
I want the young people to know that all your demands, all your requests, we respond positively, and we promise that we will do, and we need quiet time to implement these things.
Yeah, and then what's his name?
Mohammed Al-Baradei.
Yes, I can't say his name correctly. He was on Meet the Press yesterday.
He need to assume political responsibility and step aside and get the country to move on.
Yeah, did you watch that interview? It was a little because of the delay.
No, I watched the one on this week.
Because, you know, David Gregory always likes to look tough and like somebody's hedging and not answering his questions. And I think it was just the delay. So it was a little awkward.
Well, if you would have watched ABC's This Week, Christiane Amanpour was sitting right in front of him. So there was no delay at all. It was nice.
And she could win a bar fight with David Gregory.
Absolutely. She could break off a glass on, you know, a bottle on
the
bar.
I've been there, done that.
Cut a bitch.
You do not want to go there.
Nope.
Egyptian protester.
We will destroy this regime of Mubarak, and we will continue here in Tahrir until we die.
Hmm. Oh, boy. That doesn't sound very compromising, does it?
No.
And another protest.
The fact that every day they are making concessions is our monitor that we are the stronger side.
That is a very, very good point.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's sort of like, how about this?
Yeah.
It's sort of like Mubarak. It's like a version of Oprah's favorite things, but Mubarak's favorite things. How about this? You get a free, no emergency.
You get a camel.
You get a, look, a Molotov cocktail. How about this?
And you get a camel.
How about that?
And you get a camel.
No, they don't own camels.
Oh.
You get a machete. No.
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 Although I'm sure Egypt has enough camels.
Well,
to get
Hal and I were saying that last week. Where do you get, is there a little carts on the street? Is that where, like, machetes and Molotov cocktails? Do you get them? It's a little, where do they suddenly come from? It's like, let's make a deal. Suddenly people were just pulling things out of what the hell?
I'll give you $100 bill for a paperclip.
Yes.
A machete. A Molotov cocktail.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And how did you know that Sarah Palin predictably was going to criticize the president? Like, he should have rode in on a camel himself, apparently.
Right.
He really should be more involved. Should be more hands-on. Just like he should have been Aquaman during the Gulf crisis, the oil spill.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? As you may have imagined, Rude Pundit has some thoughts on all of this.
Yeah. And he wants to announce his new book, too.
Oh, it's very exciting.
I know.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's wrong with you?
Almost everything. But let's get back to the interview.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert joins us next hour to co-host Right Wing World, and then, of course, Mondays with Edie McClurg. But right now,
Lee Poppet, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Pundit. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I don't know what was more exciting, the Puppy Bowl, the Super Bowl, or Reagan-palooza.
Oh, you know what? I'm going with Puppy Bowl. Always go with Puppy Bowl.
Yeah. Always bet on puppies.
Those
yeah.
scamps are adorable, and they don't rape people at bars.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
That was about Reagan, by the way.
Yes, I understand. You know, there's so, whenever for some reason you write about Reagan, there's so very little that I can quote on my little family radio show. But you have, you've suggested nine or so ways to celebrate the centennial of Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Which was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's drag his bones out of the ground so we can grind them up and freebase the dust so we can shoot it straight into our veins so we can feel some of that Reagan morning in America high one more time.
This is,
hey, that, like the finest heroin.
This is going straight to Newsbusters.
No wonder
it?
Republicans are addicted to it. No wonder so many Democrats want to get stoned on it, too. Yeah, it was, they were having a Reagan-gasm on Fox News.
Did you see? Disgusting.
Yeah. How many words can we come up with? A Reagan orgy, you know, it's... a Reagan voodoo ritual. I don't know. It was...
Yeah, they were trying to... they were trying to zombify him or something.
Oh, yeah. Now, I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd come out and flipped the coin at the Super Bowl. That would have been just... Or just the bones of his hand. We're going to use this and toss it in the air.
Because it was on Fox.
Oh,
yes, yes.
Boy.
I want to defile his corpse as much as possible.
Now. Yeah. But, you know, Chris was bringing up a few things, and you always talk about this, too, that it is kind of hilarious that there are so many huge, glaring things that they are against that Reagan was for, that it just, but they cover that part up.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not. They're never going to talk about amnesty. They're never going to talk about all the tax or hikes.
Yeah, they prefer you forget about Iran-Contra.
Yeah. No, the scandals.
Zero nukes.
That doesn't even get us into anything. We don't want to talk about the scandals. We don't want to talk about that he had Alzheimer's in the White House. We don't want any of that. That clouds the morning in America. Tax cut.
Tax cuts.
Well, and of course they.
His tax cuts were. He did have a number of enormous tax cuts
for the rich.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but he raised taxes on the rest of us. 7 out of 8 years that he was in office.
And to do so, my favorite part about that, to do so, he slashed all the services that were there for the poor and especially poor women.
Yep.
Yep.
And we're still recovering from that.
I mean, and completely, in my opinion, ignored the AIDS crisis. To the extent, I always used to say it back then, Rude. I used to say if, you know, AIDS had made which right Republican men's fall off, he would have cured that overnight.
It would have been a national emergency. How could it not? But because it was people that had to stay closeted and had no power, we could just ignore it because we were just ignoring, you know, the whole gay thing anyway, unless you were watching Hollywood Squares or apparently, you know, being a Hollywood actor and ignoring half of the people that you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rock Hudson.
Well, you know, the other thing, though, I mean, it's interesting. You brought up about having Alzheimer's in office, which I think, don't most of us kind of know that must have been true? And meanwhile, they beat up on poor Ron Reagan, who, by the way, I hope we're going to have him on about his book about his dad. Because the funny thing is, I mean, it's actually, from what I'm told, a pretty loving book about his dad.
Yeah, that's the thing is he disagreed with his dad on virtually everything. But the guy loved his dad. And in some ways, it serves as a model for how people can actually deal with these things in society.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, he actually says, you know, I can't remember what show he was on, but they were asking him about one of the things he had written about his dad, and he said that he meant it in a way that his dad was almost too good. Like, he just was talking about it. He would never gossip about people. I mean, and to me, again, let's, like, leave politics aside, Rude. That's the main reason why it makes you sick that Sarah Palin is, like, wrapping herself in the Reagan mantle. I got to tell you, the key difference, and I'm someone that voted for Reagan back when I was, you know.
Young and stupid.
Well, he wasn't. I mean, whatever you think of his politics, he was nice. She's mean as a snake. I mean, you know, that's it. Don't you think one of the key differences?
Yeah, well, that was the thing that Reagan had. That's where the Hollywood training came in. Is he could be talking about the most vicious cuts to social programs, and he could just give you that grandfather smile and, you know, pat you on the head like, oh, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. We'll all take care of each other. We don't need the government to do it. And that was a lie, but we bought it because we liked Grandpa talking to us before he fondled us.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Rude.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, heavens. Yeah, but did you see any of the Palin speaking at the Reagan thing?
The Palin speaking. Did you read the quote in the New York Times from the transcript that somebody asked her about how the president handled Egypt? And just the incomprehensible answer she gave, and it's almost like the New York Times was just being sarcastic, to quote it in full.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a
line? Oh, yes, please, oh, please, yeah. Yes.
Here it is. I mean, and this is, I am not changing it. This is word for word. This is from a transcript provided by the organization, provided by the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. She says, and nobody yet has explained to the American public what they know, and surely they know more than the rest of us know who it is who will be taking the place of Mubarak, and no, not real enthused about what it is that's being done on a national level and from D.C. in regards to understanding all the situation there in Egypt.
God. Oh.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Not exactly, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, is it?
I think that she's operating on a level so far above us that human speech doesn't really encompass what she has to tell us.
Kind of like bat signals, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Because, you know, all of her followers, they know exactly what she said.
Oh, God. Wow. It's always that, you know, as we say, it's the verbal equivalent of filling out the blue book. Just keeps more words and words and words.
Adjectives. Yeah.
Yes, that will impress the teacher, even though I don't know the answer.
So the last thing, I don't really know anything about that. I didn't know it would be on the test. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of right-wing chicks, you have a...
Oh, boy.
One of your very hilarious Ann Coulter, how awful it must be to be Ann Coulter, you write, looking around as she sees that her brand of crazy has been co-opted from her by younger, hotter, dumber upstarts, or one-upped by the even crazier, like Glenn Beck and his conspiracy theories so barking at one's own insane that UFO conspiracy theorists say, whoa, mother... That is nuts. Yeah, one might feel pity for Ann Coulter if she didn't have such a long, long history of being such a... And you basically say how she doesn't even do the work anymore. She just plagiarizes her old columns.
Her recent column was a couple of paragraphs about high volume magazines or whatever the term is. Sorry, right. I don't own a gun, so I don't know all the lingo.
Yes.
And the rest of the column is all from a book of hers from 2008, which was also taken from columns of hers from 2007. And it was something she had also repeated in a column in 2009.
Yes.
So you know what? You can be a writer, too.
She's just not even trying anymore.
No. And why bother? Really, at this point, is anybody reading or paying attention to Ann Coulter? And that was one of my points, is that it's like with Reagan, sometimes the only thing you can do is just dance on somebody's grave.
All right. So, Rude, by the by, speaking of, we were talking about Egypt, what, you know, you basically were saying you think the president should have been more, you know, to the point about Mubarak has to go now. But we were talking about this earlier, and this is the problem, that people like Sarah Palin, in my opinion, don't understand nuance, and that America doesn't technically have the power to make him go today. And, you know, I think if you start to bluster like the Bush administration did, you're only going to make America look more powerless, aren't you? Go ahead.
I think that what you're saying is that you support this huge number of people that are out in the streets, and that you are standing with people for who you believe are standing for democratic principles that have been violated by a dictatorial government. And that is, I don't think that it's, no, obviously you can't make Mubarak go, but you can certainly send a signal to the people there who want that signal. I mean, everybody says we don't want to get involved because we don't want them to think we're interfering in their government. But the people on the street there want to know, okay, are we being backed by the West? And to give it as much momentum as possible.
So
I think there's a difference in bluster in we are going to take down Saddam Hussein versus we stand with the people who are uprising and trying to overthrow a corrupt
government. But my point is, you know, for him to step further over the line, I mean, he has said all that, but for him to say America is demanding you go today, I'm just saying I think that's a tricky line to step over.
Oh, Oh, I think that's what they're saying behind the scenes. No, I don't think I've ever said that that's what he should. He needs to say that Mubarak needs to stand down. Yes, I do believe that. I don't believe that he is saying it without saying it. When he says a transition needs to start now, that's diplomatic speak for saying, dude, get the hell out of there.
Yeah. I think we should talk about the most important story of the morning, and that is the Rude Pundit has a new book, however. Rude Pundit's Almanac. It's mostly spanking new, never blogged stuff, I'm told.
It is.
Unlike Ann Coulter.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. No, it's this thing's got a shelf life, baby, because I talk all about 2012 candidates, Republican candidates, in really awful, hideous ways.
In the rudest possible way, of course.
Yes.
You also say you want to learn fun facts about the founders that will make your teabagger coworkers' heads pop off.
Yep.
Awesome.
And then you know what? There's tender stories about me growing up and learning my rude ways early on.
As a little rude boy in Louisiana.
Exactly.
Aww.
Yes. Meeting William F. Buckley.
Will we hear things about the entire rude family?
I don't think my mom makes it in. My brother makes it in. My sister's gonna feel a little left out. I feel a little bad for her, but she's probably more grateful than anything else.
Yeah. I love the tableau of the whole rude family just yelling rude things at each other over dinner.
Oh, you know what?
Gravy.
That really is pretty much what it was. It was beautiful, and then there were tender touches that were actually just being punched in the head. But we thought it was love.
Don't we all? Don't we all mistake something for that at one point or other? Your rudeness, the Rude Pundit's Almanac is the name of the book.
And you can pre-order it at rudepundit.blogspot.com now.
Or you can go to orbooks.com.
Okay.
And that's where it's available. And that's where it's going to be available for the next couple of months. And then it will spread throughout the universe.
Like a virus for which there is no penicillin. His rudeness. See you next Monday. Miss you already.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Now, here you go. Bye-bye. I do miss him already. It's weird. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We got us some $50 gift certificates to Profilers.
Yes!
All right.
To the best callers of the morning.
Right.
The two best callers of the morning.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
One minutes after the hour. Helen in Ithaca on Caribou Barbie. Hi, Helen. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning. Everyone.
Yes. Go ahead.
Sarah Palin has some of her facts kind of convoluted.
What?
Which couldn't be surprising, right?
So, that's so unusual for her. Yes.
First of all, she's saying that Reagan's from the born and raised in the West Coast or something. She's trying to guess her, you know, if she was speaking for him. This
yeah,
weekend.
She said she was a West Coast conservative.
A Western
just like,
conservative,
just like
him. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So she's got those both things convoluted because he's actually born and raised in Dixon, Illinois.
Yes.
And I'm from, grew up in, born in Chicago, but raised in a suburb of Chicago. Dixon is just a little north of Chicago. It's not the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know? All right. And the other thing is...
She must have looked at a Fox map.
Yeah.
That's right. But the other
if she can't see it from her house, she doesn't know where it is. That's the, yeah.
But he was his whole life, he was a Democrat until he met his second wife, Nancy.
Yep.
And then her father told him, he said, son, if you want to be successful, you've got to change parties. You have to move. And from Democrat to Republican.
Listen, I've been told that in radio. If I ever want to make a dime, I need to decide I'm a conservative again.
Yeah, you could make a lot more money. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's you know, the other thing about the, what do you call it, her Egypt answer, which is just, don't you think at some point they would prep her? Don't you think she'd know that, like, people think she's a dope about foreign policy and she's going to get a question and she'd be a little better prepared?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's just like, oh, no.
She knows nothing about
foreign policy. I mean, if you're
going to
go out and criticize the president about how he's handling Egypt, then you should have some sort of cogent point about how you do it differently.
Right.
Okay. David in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. I heard about this. President Bush had to cancel a little trip.
Say really quick, in honor of Keith Olbermann, Sarah Palin, that woman is an idiot.
That woman is an idiot. Thank you.
So Bush's Switzerland visit was canceled due to the torture. Not even allegations. Everybody knows that the Bush administration tortured, including being in cahoots with Suleiman,
yeah.
The vice president of Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, when is this charade going to be over with? And Rumsfeld and Conley's arrives at the Super Bowl. Bush is at the Super Bowl. Cheney's on C-SPAN trying to, you know, jump on the Reagan orgasm.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. It's just sickening.
Yeah. Can you imagine making your travel plans, David, based on, let's see, where am I considered a war criminal? Where am I likely to be arrested? No. Can't go there. Max in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Max. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. You know, growing up in the 70s, I never missed a Dean Martin roast or Bob Hope special.
Yep.
Because one of the running jokes was always that somehow Ronald Reagan would be president, and no one thought he had the intellectual might to actually handle the job. And it was such a joke because it was so preposterous. The bar was much higher then. But then he got there. And throughout the 8 years, he definitely showed he did not possess the intellectual might. But what he did, and what you have to give him credit for, is he made people feel good about being American after Watergate and Vietnam and all of the scandals, not the policies that he pursued or believed in or whatever you want to consider it to be, just getting out there and making people feel good about being American.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely true. But I mean, for Sarah Palin to try and, you know, compare herself to being just like Reagan is ludicrous at best.
Intellectually bankrupt. She is, she's a catastrophe. And the bar is tremendously low. If that's what they feel they can put out to people and mark it as being someone capable of being our president, they are more bankrupt mentally than any of us think.
Yeah,
and philosophically.
Let's start with the fact that he actually finished his term as governor, so there's that.
I know, and it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. I don't think the Democrats would ever put somebody out like that.
Yeah.
And the Republicans should be ashamed.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Max, thank you. Let's go to Jeff in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, I understand that Arianna Huffington, the Huffington Post, got bought off for some ungodly amount of money.
$315 million by AOL, yep.
So does that mean she's making more than Rush Limbaugh?
I think she might even be making a little more than Rush Limbaugh now.
That would mean, like, heads are going to explode on the right-hand side, right?
Yes, yes, in fact. I will sit back and enjoy that. Steve in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. Sorry, first time, long time. Kind of nervous, but nevertheless,
nervous.
Your one guest kind of forgot to mention a few things about Ronald Reagan. Namely, he's was pretty much single-handedly responsible for arming Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
I think that he missed that. He began the process of a friendship with Saddam Hussein. Which was a bad choice right there. The deregulation that kind of, you know, started back during his term, you know, led to a lot less rules as far as the environment goes and as far as financial regulations go. Not to mention his involvement with the CIA as far as allowing crack to come in the United States.
Yep.
all those things were kind of skipped over. So
yes, that must have been for time. Those things were edited out on Fox News. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah. Sure. They would have gotten to all that, a more complete history, I'm sure, if they'd had time.
Yeah. Drugs for guns.
What's that, Jim?
Drugs for guns. That was one of his favorites.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Look at Jim Ward is here a full 20 seconds early. It's like Christmas has come early once again. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha, 6 minutes after the hour. I know. We've all been waiting for Jim Ward to get here so that he can read verbatim Sarah Palin's answer to the New York Times about what she would do. Differently than the president, I guess, in Egypt, but based on her vast foreign policy experience and
command of the English language.
Exactly. All right. And here now is Jim Ward as Sarah Palin.
And nobody yet has explained to the American public what they know, and surely they know more than the rest of us know who it is who will be taking the place of Mubarak, and not real enthused about what it is that's being done on a national level and from D.C. in regards to understanding all the situation there in Egypt and in these areas that are so volatile right now, because obviously it's not just Egypt but the other countries too where we are seeing uprisings. We know that now more than ever we need strength and sound mind there in the White House. We need to know what it is that America stands for, so we know who it is that America will stand with, and we do not have all that information yet.
Okay.
Wow.
That was breathtaking. And once again, like Saturday Night Live, we don't have to write anything. All you have to do is just read the verbatim Sarah Palin transcript.
That's astonishing.
Breathtaking. Okay. Let's say hello to our good friend, Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert. Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Eric, I apologize for having to follow that. That is, that kind of comedy writes
the
itself.
Is, you never know.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, did you watch the O'Reilly interview with the president yesterday?
I saw highlights, I guess if you call it that. I mean, I was tweeting this morning. I mean, only O'Reilly could make a sit down with the president turn into a non-event.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Jim said he only got one talking point. Sort of. Some folks say you're a socialist.
Yeah, I kept repeating that over and over. Well, you know, polls show that people think you're a socialist. Commie Canyon. Yeah. Who's been telling them that?
Yeah, I wonder where they got that idea.
But I'm sure he'll rehash the whole thing tonight on his show and portray it as an epic news event.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, from what the parts I saw, it was just like kind of watching paint dry.
It was dull.
Yeah.
West Wing.
You have, speaking of Fox, an interesting post this week. You talk about Times' Joe Klein says, I've heard from more than a couple conservative sources that prominent Republicans have approached Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes about the potential embarrassment that the messianic rodeo clown may bring upon their brand, meeting Glenn Beck. The speculation is that Beck is on thin ice, his ratings are dropping, which in the end is a good part of what this is all about. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a Mirror Overman situation soon.
Yeah, that's
really
what
now.
Joe Klein wrote over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the only part that would probably be wrong is the concern that Republicans have that the potential that Glenn Beck has to embarrass the brand. I think it's a little late for the embarrassment that Beck has brought to the GOP. But yeah, I mean, I think specifically on Egypt and the caliphate nonsense and this whole You know, the whole swamp he sort of descended into. Over the weekend, Bill Kristol stepped forward and mocked Glenn Beck, saying his hysteria on Egypt was marginalizing him. Rich Lowry at the National Review said Bill Kristol's, you know, comments were basically dead on. So it's interesting. Beck is now up against the, you know, the Republican media establishment on where he's going with this Egypt nonsense. And my hunch is they were, you know, I think the right-wing media absolutely defended Glenn Beck after Tucson and defended all that rhetoric. But I think, you know, in their brain, even though they didn't want to say it, there's a weariness about this hateful, violent rhetoric that he peddles.
Yeah.
And I think that
I'm the one that took most of the heat for saying it sounds like a Glenn Beck transcript, Jared Loughner's ramblings.
But
you know,
I think that so quickly followed up by the Egypt disaster and disaster for Beck and a lot of the right-wing media, I think people are starting to step forward and saying, look, you know, this is the problem. and
right.
People, according to Bill Klein, are going to Roger Ailes and Murdoch saying, we've got a problem on our hands, and his name is Glenn Beck.
Well, Eric, the you know, knowing the media as you do, though, I mean, you post about the more important thing, and you say twice now in the last week, Glenn Beck has not been hosted by Glenn Beck by a Fox News substitute. The ratings without him were the same, if not slightly higher. You said, I am not in the TV business, but that to me doesn't seem like a recipe for success, especially for a show that can't attract a single blue chip advertiser. You know, and you talk about once again about his ratings are in half from a year ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, last year when he was riding high, if he was on vacation or something, he didn't show up. Judge Napolitano would host or something like that. You know, the ratings took a dip because people wanted to see Glenn Beck. In the last 10 days, he was out twice, and the ratings were actually the same or actually went up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, and if you're Roger Ailes and you're thinking, okay, nobody will advertise on this show, I've got Republicans, and I'm guessing in the House and the Senate, I've got Bill Kristol complaining about Glenn Beck. Okay, explain to me what the upside to all this is.
Interesting.
All this is, and so that I think is beginning to percolate. There's no question.
Well, to be continued. All right, let's dive into the right wing world and see what's doing. Oh gosh, I hate to do this to you. Oh, Dick Cheney at the Reagan Library.
We associate idealism with youth, but the oldest man ever elected president was also the most idealistic, and he brought out that quality in the American people.
Yeah.
Not quite as hopeful and sunny as you are, Dick, but wow.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Reagan-gasm on Fox News, Eric?
I did not.
Reagasm.
The Reagasm.
No, it couldn't have been more energetic than the funeral coverage from a few years ago. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
God. That was like a 9-day nonstop news event.
Yeah.
I was working for a right-wing radio station back then. I was a part of it, actually.
Wow. So anything compared to that, I mean, what I've seen and the clips and the speeches, it seems sort of almost in context and thoughtful compared to that. Which I'll ever forever remember in terms of Reagan and the media. I mean, to me, that was just the runaway, just crazy disaster celebration. It went on for 7 days nonstop. So I guess this stuff seems sort of quaint. But it's interesting. Dick Cheney. What did Dick Cheney also say over the weekend? He was talking about Mubarak, and Mubarak could have been an ally again.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck, right wing bloggers. They are right with Dick Cheney. They're saying Mubarak is our guy. You know, we're going to stand with Mubarak.
I mean, it really is just neck snapping, isn't it, Eric? When these were all the people that totally got behind George Bush and yes, pro democracy. That's what we're for in Iraq. That's why we had to do this. You know, which was their fifth excuse down the line. Yeah.
Right, and they were the ones yelling and screaming that Obama didn't do enough in terms of the Iran uprising and the democracy, pro-democracy demonstrations they had. So those were good. These ones are bad, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like when Washington stood by George III when there was an uprising against.
That's right.
It's just what we do.
Yeah. All right. Rush Limbaugh and Reagan. Oh, how did we know that might happen?
Ronald Reagan did not have one supportive media outlet other than National Review. Ronald Reagan did not have a Rush Limbaugh defending him, promoting his ideas. Ronald Reagan didn't have a Fox News channel. He lowered tax rates from 70%
to 28% in 8
for the rich.
Democrats in charge most of the time, and he didn't waver.
For the, as Jim pointed out, for the rich, he lowered taxes.
I think that was a part of the Fox News regasm. Yeah.
A couple interesting things. Hey, Limbaugh actually makes a very good point that there was no Fox News back then. And I tweeted over the weekend and got all kinds of hateful responses. My point was, my hunch is Reagan would have been repulsed by Rush Limbaugh, today's Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Andrew Breitbart, and these right-wing hate merchants.
Yeah.
I don't think Reagan would want anything to do with
no.
I agree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. they said I was wrong.
because you were a little too close to home, I'm guessing.
And Washington Times, of course, Limbaugh forgets about the Washington Times. Reagan basically invented the Washington
yep.
Times. The Moonies created that newspaper in 1980-81. Mm-hmm. Reagan immediately embraced it and gave it legitimacy. And it's interesting, if you look at the polling right now, Barack Obama is now 15 points higher than where Reagan was at this juncture
in the
Gallup polls.
Well, and Eric,
but there hasn't been much discussion about over the 100th anniversary.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, I've said it many times, but I mean, Reagan would be completely teabagged out of the Republican Party today. Are you kidding me? If he was running on his record on illegal immigration and zero nukes and
raising taxes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, and not demonizing the Democrats as an occupying force,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was
friends
with Tip O'Neill.
I was just going to say. I mean, that's the thing that I think Obama has tried to emulate more. I think Obama clearly is against a lot of Reagan's specific policies, but I think that's what he's trying to emulate. Don't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He's trying to restore some of that. I think it's much harder now. Reagan just, people always talk about the sunny optimist, and that's what people celebrate, and that's what Republicans claim they love about him. There's nothing sunny or optimistic about watching Glenn Beck or listening to Limbaugh or sort of wallowing in the right-wing blogosphere. I mean, they are so look at Sarah Palin. I mean, the headline in the New York Times basically over the weekend, I'm paraphrasing, was, she celebrates Reagan at this dinner, Reagan the optimist, and she spends her whole speech basically running down the United States.
That's exactly what I was saying, Chris, early in the show, Eric. That's the not only is she dumb as a box of rocks, but I mean, the main difference is she's mean as a snake.
Yeah.
She's exactly the opposite of what Reagan was.
Yeah, and again, and not just being mean, but, America's best days are behind us, we're
right.
a country. That's the opposite of what Reagan
Yeah, I mean, no, that's
claim
the
claim for being, and we don't, that's
right.
a lot of that is mythology. But
well, that's the most hilarious thing is, in that sense, Obama has snatched their Reaganism from them, because you're right. I mean, his speech was more Reagan-esque, and you're right; they've been reduced to the ones, fear-mongering, and America's
yeah,
best
absolutely.
Days are gone,
they,
and blah blah.
I don't think they realize it, but that's where they are.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. Much more right-wing world as we continue 18 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, hundreds of you have taken my advice, and you're changing your bodies with P90X. Smart move. As for the rest of you trying to get into shape using the same old workouts, here's a reality check. For the first couple of weeks, you probably see and feel some improvements. But after 30 days or so, your body starts to adapt, and the progress stops. With P90X, on the other hand, you get muscle confusion. The workouts are always changing, forcing your body to continuously build lean muscle, which helps you burn body fat 24 hours a day. With P90X, not only do you see perpetual improvements, but my workout guru, Tony Horton, never lets you get bored. P90X is backed up by a complete 90-day guarantee of satisfaction. Use it the entire 90 days, and either your body changes dramatically or you get your money back. You have no risk, so no excuses. Come on, if I can do it, we all can. Call them now, 800-509-9348. That's 800-509-9348. Or click on the P90X banner at stephaniemiller.com. Again, 800-509-9348. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com.
Got that right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. 23 minutes after the hour.
Stephanie Miller, not Jim.
Yeah. Eric Bollard from
Media Matters.
Yeah, sorry.
For America.
It's Monday, Eric. I'm sorry. And you are, and I would know you from, from before the commercial break. All right, let's continue the right-wing world. Oh, gosh. Gretchen Carlson and Steve Doocy.
When former President Ronald Reagan first took office, he faced the greatest economic recession since the Depression.
Wow.
He knew that getting the country moving again meant reining in government.
I miss that guy. So what can we learn from Reagan's words as we get ready to celebrate the 100th anniversary of his birthday on Sunday? Stuart Varney joins us live. Those were the days.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean,
more Reagan-gasm. Reagasm.
Reagasm.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, I mean, it's been 30 years and Fox News wasn't around, as we talked about before. And so, I mean, they're not even sort of dealing with the reality. It's sort of a remembrance of the Reagan myth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even sort of a remembrance of the Reagan man, because they're not interested in talking about any of the downsides.
And it's interesting when anyone...
He was 35% in the polling at this juncture in his first term.
Yeah.
Like that.
And the interesting thing is when anyone brings any of that up, they just get sort of a blank stare. Facts can't penetrate their Reagan shield. It's just...
Yeah, and frankly, I don't think most of them really know that much about Ronald Reagan.
No,
yeah.
They don't. They just know the myth.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
The talking point.
Yeah. Well, that can't be true that he gave amnesty to illegal... Well, yes, it can be true.
From Lebanon when things started going badly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he was the original cut and runner. Exactly.
No, I think HBO has a Reagan special tonight, I believe. I mean, you know, that could actually be instructive.
And have you seen these GE Reagan ads?
Yes.
Holy crap, those are bordering on offensive.
Bordering on?
All right. O'Reilly and Egypt.
Right now, there is chaos in the Arab world because this war is a wreck and Tunisia collapsed, so now others are going to try to do the same in their country. So what the United States has to do is basically be methodical and try to get the best people in power they can. Because if it's the Islamic Brotherhood, then it's World War III.
Boy, that talking point.
Well, this was funny because, you know, for the first several days in covering Egypt, I think we even talked about this last week, I mean, Fox News just didn't really know what to do with it, wasn't that interested in it. It wasn't until last week that they finally came around.
Yeah.
You could almost see, like, the conference calls that they had.
Yeah.
And they finally came around to, Muslim Brotherhood, if they seize control, which, no, frankly, no one thinks they will.
Right.
It'll be World War III.
Yeah.
So they finally were like, now we're enthusiastic about this story.
Right. Well,
now we have a falsehood to spread.
Can we finally invade Iran now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have better graphics for that. We have them all ready to go. Yeah, I mean, it really is like you could almost feel them, Eric, scrambling for how is this bad for the president?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, how
is this bad? How is pro-democracy and transparency? How is this bad for the Arab world? How is it? Oh, shoot. There's no angle for us to latch onto.
Yeah.
And that's it. And of course, you know, Beck just took it to the extremes and went into Never Never Land with the whole caliphate thing. But the rest of Fox News has sort of decided, okay, you know, Muslim Brotherhood, that's our answer. That's our story. We're sticking with it.
Yeah, exactly. Glenn Beck, speaking of which. On the
media for the last 2 days says that I'm just telling all these things about Egypt to frighten people. No. I'm just telling people the truth that no one in the media wants to tell on the other networks. If that frightens you, well, that's your choice. I hope it motivates you to learn more and then prepare yourself. But just in case you've been watching all week and you haven't been frightened yet, you will be.
Yes. That's the genius of a conspiracy.
Wow.
They're always right, and everyone else is always wrong. So he's simply telling the truth that nobody else on the planet will tell about this looming, you know, transcontinental revolution and demise of democracy. And so as long as he just keeps telling himself that, convincing himself he's the one that has the true vision,
right,
then it doesn't matter who disagrees with him.
And everyone else is crazy.
At least he's exhorting.
Like Bill Kristol and Rick Bowery. And
at least he's exhorting his listeners to find out even more than they already know about the Middle East.
I hesitated to say, because I don't know how you could tell the difference, but I'm like, is he losing it? I don't know how the different way, if there's degrees of that, but anyway. Laura Ingraham, in for O'Reilly.
It's good for the public and for the world to hear the president freely discuss the importance of his faith in public. And he recounted how, during his community organizing days, he came to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. What set my antenna up, though, was the president's invocation of his faith to defend big government programs, including his health care reform law. The fact is, he's using his faith to justify his health care overhaul, which, as you know, has been overwhelmingly opposed by religious voters who abhor, among other things, its backdoor funding of abortion through these state health care exchanges.
Jesus hated health care.
Yeah, he hated helping the poor and sick. He never talked about that, Eric.
Well, you remember last year, you know, Obama wasn't talking about religion enough. We didn't know if he was a Christian.
Right.
Why won't he go
now
to church?
Now he's talking too much.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Right now he talks about it. Oh, he's talking about it in the wrong context. Okay, please try again, and we will grade you on your religion.
Right.
Eric Bullard from Media Matters. See you next week, sir.
All right. Bye.
All right, there he goes. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can tell a lot about someone by their handshake.
You are confident.
And you...
Stephanie Miller.
Ate dinner in front of a mirror last night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, less than half an hour away from Mondays with McClure, the delightful Edie McClure.
You really are like Liz Lemon on 30 Rock.
I am.
I think you are.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. We still have some Pro Flowers $50 gift certificates for the best calls this morning. Mike in Chicago and Valentine's Day, coming up. Hello, Mike.
Hey, everyone. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the O'Reilly interview with President Obama during halftime, but imagine if a left reporter would ask a sitting president, why do you think everyone hates you so much?
Yes.
You know, it's like, first of all, it's so repulsive, that question, but why he had the eyes and ears of 100 million people, he didn't say, well, Edie Hill of your network said me and my wife do terrorist fist bumps. That might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin says I pal around with terrorists. That might have something to do with it. And he could have chopped their ratings in half just by saying these few things, and he didn't say anything. He just kind of dismissed it almost.
Yeah, I love it. It's the some folks say. The some say Fox. It's like some people on Fox say that.
It's so beyond irritating, and I wish one time he would just give it back to them like they deserve.
Yeah. I wish Obama weren't so polite.
Guess what, Mike? You get a Pro Flowers gift certificate, $50. I'm putting you on hold.
Yay!
Awesome!
Oh, you are so going to get laid this Valentine's Day. Okay. Hey, thank you, Stephanie, at the moment of... All right.
That'd be a bad idea. No, you don't want to. Don't mention your name.
Then you might have to have some explaining to do.
Unless you're doing a girl named Stephanie.
No, I just meant good. Stephanie gave me a $50.
Yeah, right,
okay,
right,
thing. Yeah. All right. You know, Eric Bollert was talking about, I thought that's an interesting point, with the caller just made, and the fact that Reagan didn't, you know, there was not a Fox News, you know, against Reagan the way there is against this president. Mm-hmm. And I was reading this recent poll. President Obama's approval ratings during his second year in office were the most partisan and polarized of the first 2 years of his presidency, with a nearly 70 percentage point gap in how Republicans and Democrats evaluated his performance. And I think that is partially to do with the Fox News and right-wing radio that just 24/7 relentless bunch of lies and demonizing and all of that stuff for the president. So
why do the folks hate you?
It really, but don't you think it's part of it, Jim? It's like this alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's approval rating among Republicans averaged 13%, while his Democrats' approval of Obama's second year averaged 81%. Mm. I mean, it really is like, you know, to borrow a phrase, two Americas.
Mm-hmm.
The 68-point differential is the fourth largest on record, though, behind years 4, 5, and 6 of George W. Bush's presidency, when the partisan gap was 70 to 76 points.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's interesting. President Obama says he doesn't take it personally when people say they hate him. He said the people who dislike you don't know you. The folks who hate you, they don't know you. What they hate is whatever funhouse mirror image of you that's out there.
Yeah.
They don't know you. And, gee, I wonder who could be putting out that funhouse mirror Muslim terrorist, Kenyan image. This is O'Reilly and Obama. Yes.
Mr. President, thank you very much for doing this, and I must thank you on behalf of the Fox News Channel for helping out Greg Palcott and Mr. Wieg, who got roughed up in Cairo. And it was you, it was Robert Gibbs, the State Department, who really saved them, and we all thank you very much.
Well, listen, those guys showed enormous courage, as so many journalists do around the world. Yeah. And so not only was it important for us to make sure they were safe for them and their families, but to uphold the basic principle of free speech and freedom of the press. That's a universal value we care about, and I know Fox cares about, so I'm just glad these guys are...
Those guys could have died, and I just want everybody to know that, you know, the State Department really saved them.
Having said that, everybody
I was just
going
to say, was that his sole stab at seeming decent? And fair and balanced.
Because he rescued some Fox guys.
Yeah, he really only made it about the Fox News Channel. He didn't give a crap about everybody else who was attacked. He only cared about the Fox News Channel.
Well, you were saying we actually saw that in real time with Rush Limbaugh. He started mocking when he thought it was just other journalists. Or, are we supposed to feel bad? He made it like borderline joke.
Right, yeah.
And then he was like, what the fuck? A Fox reporter was attacked. What? Well, now this is serious.
Stand.
Now we're all Americans. We all stand together.
God.
Okay, Obama and O'Reilly and me.
Here's what I'm not prepared to do. I'm not prepared to go back to a day when the American people, if you've got a pre-existing condition, if you had a heart attack, then you can't get healthy.
Here's what the Wall Street Journal said. I want you to react to this quote. Mr. Obama is a determined man of the left whose goal is to redistribute much larger levels of income across society. He may give tactical ground when he has to, as he did on taxes to avoid a middle-class tax increase, but he will resist to his last day any major changes to Obamacare and the other load-bearing walls of the entitlement state. This is the Wall Street Journal. You know, painting you as a pretty left-wing guy, you're going to draw the line.
The Wall Street Journal will probably paint you as a left-wing guy.
Yeah. No.
If you're talking about the Wall Street Journal editorial page,
that's what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, read to me from a right-wing paper only.
Right. Also, a Kenyan Nazi Muslim from outer space. That's our opinion.
Yeah, that was a really self-serving interview yesterday that I'm sure, you know, drove away a lot more people than it drew in.
Yeah. Gary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Super Bowl. Hi, Gary.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. I watched with the sound off, and I was just appalled by those first commercials where the people were getting hit with a Coke can and the lady got hit with the big log, and I thought, what is up with
Rob Reiner, and I was at Rob Reiner's house, and he was like, these are very violent. These commercials are very
They were horrible. I think it's indicative of the Fox News ethos or something, trying to make people numb to pain, maybe, but I didn't see any humor at all in those.
Yeah, we were like, what's with all the violent commercials?
They're probably sponsored by the NRA. Guns don't kill people. Coke cans kill people.
And then there was a lot of ads for really violent movies, and it was funny. Rob Reiner's wife, Michelle, goes, honey, you're making the wrong kind of movies.
Yeah, he needs to make Cowboys versus Robots or whatever.
More loud, mindless, violent movies.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, Cowboys versus... And then there was that Robot Wars, that robot fight movie.
Wow.
It looks like the movie version of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You'll have to remake it when Harry killed Sally.
Although, I'm sure Rob Reiner has one of those big robot-themed summer blockbusters in him.
Here, it's not often you have Rob Reiner quote a Rob Reiner movie. And by the way, I told him how you guys get annoyed that I keep quoting American President, and he doesn't appreciate you too.
Well, can you pick some? I mean, it was a three-hour-long movie.
There
pick
are more quotes
more,
than the
other
sand
quotes.
Thing.
No, but anyway, I got a chance to have him quote one of his own movies, which I'd totally forgotten, When Harry Met Sally. Who's the one younger girl that, what's his name, Billy Crystal's dating? And he goes, do you remember where you were when Kennedy got shot? And she goes, Ted Kennedy got shot?
Yeah.
Which isn't, now it's not funny because they're both gone, but still.
I don't think I've seen that movie since 89.
Well, go watch it again.
Well, jeez.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not
jeez, yes.
Stifle.
Good morning.
Hi, Sue.
I haven't heard anyone mention the pesky fact that President Reagan, when he was the spokesman for GE, was fired by GE in 1962. Now that, you know, they're funding all of this and these commercials, but part of his contract as being spokesman was to go around to various factories and give speeches, and as the speeches got more and more ultra-right wing, GE fired his butt.
Yes.
But they don't mention that.
Not in those ads.
No, those are just all about the whitewashing and the
Why did GE feel the need to put those ads out there? Are they trying to, I don't know, wash their hands of MSNBC or something?
I know.
I mean, those ads are really weird. It's an ad. It's not an ad for GE. It's an ad for Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's a little strange.
Yeah.
All right. All the talk yesterday, Jim, about who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Computer says no.
About Egypt.
Computer says no.
Is Boner really having a bunch of affairs, according to the National Enquirer?
That's what people want to know.
Exactly.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Uh-huh.
The answer is no. No, 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 no. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, 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 no. Hell no, hell no, hell no, you can't.
No one in this country should be treated that way. It's not fair. It's not right.
No, 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 no. Hell no, hell no.
All right. Let's go Terry in Oregon with a little Bonermon, a bontage.
A bontage.
It's like a bouquet, but a bontage.
Yes.
All right. Oh, dear God. Yeah, this is the headline, Jim. I've not been able, as you know, to keep my Palin-free February pledge, and not even for half a minute. How can you just, the headline, I pick up the paper, and I'm like, no! Sarah Palin cast herself in Reagan mold.
God.
Last Obama administration, and she launched a celebration of the 100th anniversary of Ronald Reagan's birthday. She delivered a blistering critique of the expansion of government under President Obama's watch. She was at the Reagan Ranch Center in Santa Barbara, where she skewered his recent State of the Union address. She said they have all sorts of half-baked ideas of what to spend, I mean invest. See, that was a little quip. Our hard-earned money on their idea of national greatness. These investments include everything from solar shingles to fast train tracks. But as we struggle to merely service our unsustainable debt, the only thing this investment will get us is a bullet train to bankruptcy.
No, it's going to create jobs, you stupid bint.
It's not.
And it will. And will provide desperately needed infrastructure.
Yeah, and the shingles that she talks about are providing half of Germany's power right now.
Right. If we don't manufacture them, China will.
Of course,
and then China will win.
Right.
What a dolt.
It's not exactly the challenger speech or any of the other, we have to read verbatim.
There's no touching the face of God
no,
in that.
No shackles of no.
No.
She also blasted the stimulus program. Clearly, it didn't stimulate anything but a tea party.
GM is selling cars now all over the place.
Oh, boy.
People have jobs.
Here's a weird historical whatever that kind of relates back to me. Her starting point for her remarks was an October 1964 address by Ronald Reagan on behalf of then presidential candidate Barry Goldwater, my dad's running mate. Mm-hmm. The speech was widely viewed as the moment that helped launch Reagan's political career. So I'm guessing she thinks that mess on foreign policy, that's going to be her launching point. She reprised a line from that speech in which Reagan said the issue of the 1964 election was whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. Thanks a lot, Ronnie. That helped a lot.
Yeah, great.
That helped. Woo!
You don't
need my
healthcare.
Dad and Goldwater. That really helped a lot.
Oh, the little puppies.
Palin's...
They're showing puppies on the TV.
Puppies at TV.
I'm making an important historical point.
Oh, look at the puppies.
Oh, look! There's a Pyrenees puppy! As you'll recall, Palin's last major public appearance in California was 2 weeks before the November 2nd election at a Republican gathering here in Anaheim, where she urged supporters to exhaust themselves to achieve a Republican victory. We'll all be celebrating because California will be put back on the right track along with the rest of America. Just before Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina lost by double digits. How'd that whole Republican thing work out for ya? How'd that go? She was a big help out here for Republicans.
Oh, big time.
Oh, yeah. 46 minutes. Almost as much
Republicans across the country.
Almost as much as Reagan helped Goldwater and my dad.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
World of the Cowboys. 51 minutes after the hour.
How is that? Are you okay? Are you having a brain-related event?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Mondays with McClure coming up after the top of the hour. It's Carolyn in Sacramento on the Super Bowl. Hey, Carolyn, welcome.
Hi there, Mama.
Hello.
Hi, Mooks.
Hello.
I wanted to tell you, my favorite commercial
yes.
was the one where the guy is going to house sit and dog sit with a whole house full of dogs, and the owner says, "Oh, these dogs are really smart. They'll do anything you want." And he says, "And I have a whole refrigerator full of Bud Light." And he looks, and you can just see he's got this idea. Next thing you know, he's having a great big party, and the dogs are serving everybody the snacks and the beer. And then they have dogs playing poker, and it was hilarious.
I must have missed that one.
It was great. It was being a dog lover. I enjoyed it. I did.
All right. What was the one? I can never remember what the product is, but I think it was Doritos. The other house sitter guy that's supposed don't forget to feed the fish and.
Oh.
And so he forgets everything, and then the Doritos bring the fish back to life, and also...
He kills the fish because he forgets to feed it.
Oh.
And, yes.
Oh.
And kills the houseplant because he didn't water it.
Yes, but then he puts Doritos on them, and they come back to life, and then he knocks over the father's
his
ashes.
His grandfather's ashes, and his grandfather comes to life and is sitting on the couch.
Yes. The Doritos bring the grandfather to life as well. It's funny. It's one of those
I like the little Darth Vader one. That was cute.
Yeah.
Little kid in the Darth Vader mask.
Kid's a good actor.
Yeah. Where he started the Volkswagen. Yeah.
Jan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jan.
Hi, Steph. I love you. Love
Thank
you.
You
guys.
Thank you.
Love the Sarah impression from Jim. But listen, on the serious side, I wanted to bring this attention to everyone about the crisis in Egypt, that the people representing Amnesty International are really suffering some abuses. You know, I belong to Amnesty, and they called me Saturday and asked if I could give them an emergency donation, and they, you know, they told me some of the things, and oh, my God. I told the guy, he wanted 25. I said, I could give you 15. I'm retired, fixed income, you know, I'll go get my credit card. I came back, and I said, you know, I had a second thought, and I told him, I'll give you the 25. If I can give up chocolate cake for 2 weeks, you can have 20.
Oh,
that man, he was like that. I thought he was going to burst into tears. Aww. He was so grateful. So any of our listeners out there that could possibly help them out, I know they would really appreciate it, because nobody, you know.
Well, guess what you get? Guess what you get karmically? You get a $50 Profiler's gift certificate for being
Yay!
A good person. What do you think of that?
A gift certificate to what?
Proflowers.com.
Oh, my God.
A $50 gift certificate.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold.
I can send flowers to my landlady who's so sweet and lovely.
All right. There you go. Rebecca, there you go. See what happens if you just are a good person because... Now she saves $50 on the ProFlowers.
Can't beat that, huh?
No, you can't.
Not with a stick.
Well, unless you type Stephanie in the box.
Oh, yes. Then you get a free glass vase.
Mm-hmm. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Steph. How are you guys?
Good.
Something that occurred to me when I heard you guys talking about the solar...
The solar shingles, you betcha.
Solar shingles. Uh-huh. It seems that the Republican Party wants to pull in and be this isolationist party and just keep to ourselves and keep going what's going because it worked before. And the Democratic Party seems to want to embrace the world's idea and move us forward as mm-hmm. the leader before and catch the train before it comes. Be ahead of it. And but this is everything they've always done that Republicans are always behind.
Yeah.
Always behind her, always playing catch up.
Yep, exactly. Let's go to Tim in Madison on the Reagan and Rigasms. Hello, Tim.
Good morning. You know, I'm looking at Reagan, and he would not be Republican really today. If you look at everything he stood for, you know, making sure, at least I look at it, and I think that he wanted to make sure Americans could support themselves, make sure America could actually be this large vessel that takes everyone in. And I look at the Republican Party now, and Reagan stood against communism, did not want really anything to do with it. And now we have senators like Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin who's saying that, you know, China's a perfect example of how, you know, we can get business done there. We should move all our businesses there. Everyone should go there.
God.
It's like, okay, let's go ahead. The Republican Party used to stand for things against communism and everything, and yet they want all our businesses to move to a communist nation. Right. Seems the only time they're ever against communism is when they're talking about President Obama.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know, the fact that they killed the rail project that's so desperately needed in Wisconsin for jobs, and I know, it's stunning.
But we're happy to take your money out here in California.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, so you're more than welcome. You know, that would have been terrific for us here to bring more businesses up here and everything. And I look at we have a wonderful, dim-witted new governor who started actually playing ads in Illinois.
Yeah.
Saying how our corporate tax rate is, since they raised their tax rate up there in Illinois, mm-hmm. how our tax rates are lower in Wisconsin and everything. Apparently, he didn't actually do the fact-checking. Even with the raise in Illinois with the tax rates, ours are still higher here in Wisconsin.
Oops. Oopsie. Republicans and facts, not so much. Yeah. Nate in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry about the Super Bowl, Nate.
Hi, Stephanie.
Sorry about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I feel kind of down, but you cheered me up, you and the Moops.
All right.
And I just wanted to disagree with you a little bit about the morning in America. If you were living in the projects back then and you were black, Reagan didn't make you feel good. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You make me feel good, and thanks for the moocs, and I love you, and you take care.
He's always thank
Stephanie
you.
Makes it's, a lot of people feel good.
Yes, it's always morning in America. Here on Insane O'Clock on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you.
It's always morning America when I get up at 3 a.m.
Tom,
oh, God.
Tom in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Just a couple of quick points on the health insurance mandate. Why doesn't anybody bring up the idea we still have a draft in this country and 18-year-old men have to sign up for it, and if they don't, they don't get grants or government jobs. And we had 100 years where people were taken out and blown up and things like that. So I'd much rather pay $1,000 or something a year for a mandate. Also, school taxes. People, which I guess you can relate to, without children, have to pay school taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Why do I have to pay for the little ankle biters? 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What so proudly we watched at the twilight's last reveal. What?
Huh? Dreaming. Oh, that brings back memories.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why? What is that
really?
Perky Monday voice?
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the moonbeam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monday,
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Hi.
What the hell was Christina Aguilera singing? What was that?
The Twilight's Last Reaming?
She was,
it was just like, that last date of mine.
Talking about what Mick Jagger tried to do with her on stage. And,
dear.
Trying to light.
Now, Edie, you were doing your best Black Eyed Peas imitation.
Well, he wants everybody to do more for education, talking to the president about education. But the thing is, all of their lyrics are a diss and a debt and a diss and a debt. You know, what kind of a...
As a former teacher, you would like everyone to speak correctly. I understand. All right, Edie.
Yikes.
You know... this may be part of the problem. We did a story last week about they spent $60 million to build a football stadium for a high school in Texas. 18,000-seat high school stadium.
Football is religion in Texas.
I'll tell you what.
It's a church to them. Friday night church.
Oh, boy. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy?
I enjoyed...
We were saying very violent commercials, didn't you think?
It was the violent commercials, and also there was that halftime show. It was just kind of a celebration of a low hum to me. It just it was like, where are the real stars?
Where are the stars of yesteryear?
Where's Mitzi Gaynor, for God's sake?
Yes. And
All right.
Harry Como.
StephanieMiller.com, the website, which, by the way, Jim, was not bought by AOL for $315 million, like the Huffington Post, over the weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Sadly.
As though she needed a little more money. Perfect. Ariana.
God, Ariana.
Break loose with a big party now, Ariana.
Please, I need some money. I'm trying to start a campaign. It's Eli Lilly. They're making pharmaceuticals for children. Mm-hmm. All right, good for her. Good for her! Come on.
Well, now, yes. Okay, I'm going to say yes, and great for a gal to get that dough.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on, all right.
Let's make that a trend, shall we?
How about you throw a little of that sugar into progressive infrastructure, into buying a few progressive radio stations?
I think the Black Eyed Peas should do a song about it. Great for a gal to get that dough. Yo. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Modo. Modo. I want me Modo.
Okay, let's... noted,
Mr. Modo? What?
Noted scat singer Edie McClure joins us every Monday, as you know. All right. Looky here. Another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Step Show and the Step sponsors. Carbonite. Andrew writes, dear Ms. Miller, this is my note to Carbonite. I listen to the Stephanie Miller Show, stephaniemiller.com. Oh, why. He helpfully plugged us there. We are this close to AOL buying us now. I bought Carbonite's 3-year deal because she recommends it highly. I also mess up my computer frequently. Oh, who doesn't? Yeah. I recommended this program to my business partner and my mother to preserve data and my mother's beloved pictures. Please continue to support Stephanie Miller Show. She's an outstanding liberal voice. Sincerely, Andrew. Why, thank you, Andrew, for your fine taste in the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. By the by, here's something just for us, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know we frequently fly Screaming Baby Airlines together. Airlines urge to create child-free flights. Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
But that means there'll be one flight that's all kids. And they're extremely stressed parents and or nannies.
It'll be like Pet Airways, but all kids. Baby pilot. All the flight attendants, babies.
The kid from the E-Trade commercials.
That's the captain speaking. Yeah,
it'll be a plane full of the baby from the E-Trade commercials.
Dad? Dad? Dad?
Major airlines are being urged to consider child-free flights or zones to give travelers a more peaceful journey. Families could be segregated from other passengers on planes or banned from certain flights if campaigners hoping to persuade airlines to introduce adults-only flights get their way. Carriers have been told to think about adults-only flight after a survey revealed that 3/4 of business class travelers found youngsters on planes irritating.
Yeah.
Irritating. Yeah.
Well, it could be sort of like a Titanic. There could be, maybe there's a place where they could play Irish music and the children down somewhere in the hold.
Oh, they maybe have all the time.
Play pens between all the luggage, you know.
There's parents listening right now hating us.
Yes.
Hating the whole of us childless losers.
The whopper room down in the belly of the plane.
Oh, boy. Jim, it turns out those Cialis commercials, based on reality, is a story about the art of chore play.
I'm sorry, what?
Does a clean kitchen lead to more sex? The art of chore play, the concept of chore play. The women are more likely to want to have sex when their male partner helps out around the house. So see, when you're doing laundry and other stuff in the kitchen, like in those Cialis commercials, that's...
The walls will start to melt and suddenly I'm sitting in a bathtub.
Behind your ears. There you go.
That's exactly. I couldn't figure out the washing machine thing, but there it is. No, it's a small
load.
Well,
most women
it's a small load. I'll do it by hand, honey. A recent study found wives are happier when their husbands pitch in with housework. It's just men who help clean, take care of the kids, and do other domestic chores may see benefits of their labor pay off in the bedroom.
Yeah, if they're still awake after all that, those chores.
If you don't fall face down in the barca lounger. God. Dear God.
Oh, how many more tasks?
All right. Hey, Jim, here's a... Wow, this is nice. Who said of a... Anderson Cooper getting beaten up in Egypt. Maybe that isn't where you ought to go wandering around, Anderson. What are you, 5'7", 5'8"? What do you go, Anderson? About 160 with your little perfectly coiffed gray hair and your little delicate features? You might not want to go over to Egypt and walk around in the middle of a crowd that's screaming death to America. I wonder if Christiane Amanpour wasn't right there with them, chanting Death to America, Down with America. Hey, Anderson, were you really punched 10 times in the head? Come on. It almost sounds like he enjoyed it a little bit. Oh, I was punched in the head 10 times. Well, that's what happens when you go into a bunch of rioters, dopey. Who said that?
Dennis Kucinich.
No, no, that was a bad guess. Right-wing radio host Mike Gallagher.
Huh.
Nice.
That was before you heard about the Fox News people getting beat up.
Yes.
Too, probably. Yeah.
Yes. Then it was a very serious
then
situation.
It's tragedy. Uh-huh. We need to start bombing immediately.
Exactly. All right. Edie McClure, guess how much Charlie Sheen spent on hookers just last year?
Oh, is it $30?
Oh, Edie, that was a really bad guess. You're worse at math than Jim is at quotes.
I used to be real good on game shows, but they don't have them anymore.
You know, Charlie Sheen has reportedly spent $1 million on call girls.
$1 million.
In just the last
$1 million. $1 million.
He is allegedly obsessed with young porn stars and has been supplied with hundreds by Hollywood madam Rita Hernandez in the past year alone.
Wow.
Rita, also known by her stage name Felony.
Felony? As in F-E-L-O-N-Y?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
She said, I've known Charlie for years, and I've arranged girls for him. He was obsessed with young, new porn stars. They had to be aged between 18 and 24, no older. In the end, he was so jacked up on cocaine, pills, and alcohol, he couldn't even have sex.
Yeah.
See, now that's a darn shame, isn't it, Edie, when you know, you're too jacked up to even enjoy your $1 million worth of hookers.
Right. And also, maybe one of them was 24 and a half, and that's just...
Something.
That's a buzzkill.
Exactly.
An old hag like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Over 24? Over the hill.
Wow.
Yeah, 25-year-old hooker? No.
No.
Martin must be so proud.
Yes. Lindsay Lohan, boy, other celebrities behaving badly. Edie, why can't people have your kind of moral character in Hollywood? I don't understand. You show up on time, you do your work. No hookers, no pills, no felonies.
No fun.
Exactly.
No sex, no wine, no women, no one.
Lindsay Lohan is going to be charged with felony grand theft as early as today, according to TMZ.
Wow.
For that ugly necklace?
Yeah. Yes, the charges stem from her recent necklace theft, which could put her in state prison for up to 3 years, provided we live in a sane and rational world. So they'll probably just buy her a puppy, according to Superficial. Because you know how tough we are in our celebrities out here in our judicial system.
Absolutely.
Let that be a lesson to you. All right, Mrs. Slash, the wife of Slash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if that's her name.
No.
You know, this is not the kind of behavior you expect at the backstage at a heavy metal concert, but she saw her rock star hubby talking to another woman and flipped out. She approached the two and kicked the other woman in the stomach.
Oh. Wow.
Ooh.
Yes. All right, bye. Don't mess around with Mrs. Slash.
Why didn't she just kick the mister in his mouth?
He wasn't doing anything, apparently. She just was talking to him. But.
Oh. Wow.
You don't really marry a rock star if you're going to be that.
Yeah.
You have to be kind of forgiving, I think.
Talk to another woman!
Yeah.
I'm going to divorce you and sue you for kajillions of dollars.
That's right.
Millions.
Ricky Martin says his new twins are like a hurricane in his life. They are living la vida loca. He said, there's a little hurricane in my house at 7 o'clock in the morning. There's a party going on.
A party involving poopy diapers, apparently.
Yeah,
parenting classes, I think, are in the offing.
Yeah, have you ever read descriptions of what it's like at Brad and Angelina's house? I'm just like,
oh my God. George Clooney won't let them stay in his house anymore on Lake Como. There's trash all over the...
It's like the United Colors of Benetton on crack have just exploded in your house.
Garbage on his brocade couches.
Apparently they let them eat whatever they want and
Clooney,
stay up however long they want.
Clooney had a pot-bellied pig who would like climb into the bed next to guests when they stayed at his house. He was nuts. It's true.
Who did that?
George Clooney.
Oh, his pig. Yeah. His pig. Yeah. Oh.
Yes. All right, 17.
So it's got to be pretty extreme
to upset him.
Yeah. Yes. 17 minutes after the hour. More celebrity stack and much more as we continue with the delightful Edie McClure on Mondays.
Hear more about pigs in beds.
Wow.
I think there's a story Edie hasn't told us yet about her very storied show business career. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Now I really know
my heart. I could never let you go. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mondays with McClurg continues apace. The lovely and talented Evie McClurg live in studio with us. 1-800-STEPH-12, that phone number. Hey, David Letterman says he's going to leave the Late Show in 2 years.
Well, how are we doing on time?
2 years, apparently, is how we're doing on time. They make announcements quite a bit in advance. Chris, should I make an announcement now? I'll retire in 7 years when I'm 80. All right.
What?
I don't know.
You're 71?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's remarkably well preserved.
Thank you.
Parts of her are 20.
And we end on a sad personal note in celebrity sack. Our good friend Teresa Tana passed away over the weekend. The, you know, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Oh.
I reenacted a scene from that with her at a party once. And also, we can all attest she makes a mean pot roast. Can we not?
Right.
She makes a mean pot.
Yeah.
She was a right winger, you know. Mm-hmm. But I got along very well with her. I loved her. It's very sad. She was very, very nice.
Say her name again.
Teresa Tana.
Santana.
What?
Santana.
Teresa Tana. I said it right.
Did you? Okay.
All right. Shush, Mr. Off Mic. All right. Evie McClurg, did
Carlos
you...
Carlos Santana? What?
Yes, no.
Carlos
that's
Santana?
Entirely different.
No.
Did you see Sarah Palin at the Reagan... The Reagasm, as we called it this weekend?
Oh, man. She is... We just don't trust their motives over there in Egypt.
Oh, God.
Why are they...
The headline... Oh, yeah. I'm going to... You know what, Jim? I'm going to steal your role and have Edie read the Sarah Palin quote again in a little bit. Headline, Palin, Andrew Hogan's reach for Reagan. Again, it's now become standard operating practice for GOP White House hopefuls to out-Reagan each other once again. It's a stretch for any of next year's contenders. Reagan was governor of the country's largest state, and his 1980 election marked the culmination of a 16-year ascent, during which time he led the conservative movement. None of today's candidates carry such sweeping credentials, but because Reagan has become the standard by which all Republicans are compared, they have little choice but to echo his lines, imitate his pitch, and project his optimism. Except that Sarah Palin is a, first of all, Edie, we were saying A, mean as a snake, and B, all she basically does is fearmonger about how America's going to hell. There's nothing optimistic about her tone at all, is there?
No, and everything that she was talking about in Egypt is just like, oh my God.
Oh, are you ready
like
for this? Okay.
B.O.
Can I have my Masterpiece Theater music, please? Noted actress Edie McClurg will now play the role of Sarah Palin talking about foreign policy. Okay, wait, here it is.
It's this part here. Read this entire thing that's highlighted, starting here. Okay, here we go.
This is her on Egypt.
Well, now more than ever, we need strength and sound mind there in the White House. And nobody yet has explained to the American public what they know. And surely they know more than the rest of us know. Who it is who will be taking the place of Barack. And no, not real enthused about what it is that's being done on a national level and from D.C. in regards to understanding all the situation there in Egypt, over there in Egypt, and in these areas that are so volatile right now, because obviously it's not just Egypt, but the other countries too, where we are seeing uprisings. Mm-hmm. We know that now more than ever. We need strength and sound mind there in the White House. We need to know what it is that America stands for so we know who it is that America will stand with. Huh? And we do not have all that information yet. I would continue on the same course of not really caring what other people say about me or worrying about the things that they make up and having that thick skin and a still spine.
Okay. Thank you, Edie. Thank you.
Wow. What did I just say?
Give that back to me. Immediately. Give that
I
back to me.
I don't never know what I said.
That was verbatim.
Oh, God.
And who has spoken more clearly on the whole Egyptian situation, Jim, than that?
Also, in addition, Sputnik.
By the way, I don't know if you caught that, Jim, when he was reading it. That was the last thing she was asked what she might do differently if she decided to run for president. She said, I would continue on the same course of not really caring what other people say about me or worrying about things they make up, but having that thick skin and still spine.
Still? Still spine.
Didn't she mean...
Steel.
Yeah, she said still. Well, that's having how she a still it. Spine.
That's just her idiolect. Still. I made up still.
She did another zinger, Jim. She said, of Egypt, it's a difficult situation that this is that 3 a.m. White House phone call, and it seems for many of us trying to get that information from our leader in the White House, it seems that call went right onto the answering machine. There.
Because she doesn't know everything that the president is doing. Clearly, he's doing nothing.
That was a little quip. See, she was making a little callback joke, Jim, to the 3 a.m. call.
Right.
And it went to the answering machine. Oh, that's a zinger.
I am
a panic. Okay. We need to recover from that, Edie. I'm a little winded. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You made a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, okay, I also said I would never make out with a garbage man. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
34 minutes after the hour. We are in the midst of Mondays with Edie McClurg. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Justin in Orange County. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks. Just to pile on the stupidity of Sarah, in Saturday's Times, there was an article about how she applied to trademark her name, Sarah Palin, and Bristol Palin.
Yes.
Yet it was rejected because she's so stupid she forgot to sign the application.
All right.
And here's the big lie in that. The former governor's name is registered under Goods and Services, a category that includes information about political elections, education, and entertainment services. Her daughter's trademark is under Educational and Entertainment Services, namely providing motivational speaking services in the field of life choices. Excuse me, Bristol. Hey, baby. The website said, yes.
I'm an expert in the field of disastrous life choices. Why can't I get trademarks?
I think you should.
Yeah, I got to give you some more of the Sarah Palin. I'm trying to compare herself to Reagan. He refused to sit down and be silent about an out-of-control centralized government that overtaxed and overreached and other disregarded constitutional limits. Who often boasts in her own speeches that she won't sit down and shut up. Palin recounted how Reagan had been mocked and ridiculed and criticized, something she too has experienced. He put up with so much, and he was able to handle that criticism.
Oh, boy.
She's notoriously thin-skinned, by the way, in contrast. If the themes weren't clear enough, Palin also recalled how she'd spent part of the day riding horses at Reagan's ranch, describing the property as unmistakably the home of a Western conservative. Just like me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I remember.
Except she tends to shoot any living things that are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Near but as her Reagan home. Became more and more addlepated, as he was,
yes.
that he would spend more and more time at the ranch.
Yeah.
And then the press was kept further and further away from him. And of course, he had hearing problems, so they'd be yelling questions at him. And he just. Nancy was always by his side. And at one point, he was trying to answer a question he had. He had a very blank look on his face, and she was kicking the dirt, and she says, "We're doing the best we can." And then he said, We're doing the best we can.
Yes. Oh, boy. Palin has not been shy about comparing her path with his. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
She often uses Reagan as something of a shield. Last fall, speaking to a group of Republican insiders at a private dinner, she sought to bat down questions about her own electability by recounting that Reagan was thought to have been too conservative for the White House. And when she was criticized for appearing on a cable near reality show last year, Palin reached for the Reagan defense. She said, "You know, I agree with that," she said sarcastically. "These standards have to be high for someone who would ever want to run for president. Like, wasn't Ronald Reagan an actor? Wasn't he in Bedtimes for Bozo or something?"
Wow. Bedtimes for Bozo.
Oh, boy.
She can't even get that right.
Boy.
And Reagan was a Democrat for a very long time because that's what you would do when you were in Hollywood.
Ken in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Palin as well. Hello, Ken.
Hi there. Love you guys. Love you. Love you to pieces. On the back of Palin for comparing herself to Ronald Reagan train.
Oh, wow.
What's to add, did she assist with tearing down the Iron Curtain? No. Did she assist with removing the Berlin Wall? No. How dare she compare herself to Ronald Reagan?
All right, Ken. Thank you.
And at least he served two terms. He didn't quit.
Yeah, exactly. He actually served the entire
time. Having been shot once, he would have had justification for quitting. But
all right. Let's go to Stephanie in Illinois on Reagan as well. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
I live in farmland in Illinois, and I couldn't watch Reagan because most of these farms have been taken over by corporations. Does anybody remember how many people lost their farms during the era?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the heart of America. If he's so American, the heartland of America, our backbone, our farmers, they got stripped, corporations took. I live in a town where it's only two major farms, two corporates, and all down in Illinois, you will see all these signs of these corporations with their seeds. They have to advertise their seeds. So this is what Reagan did. So we didn't watch.
You're not joining the Reagasm is what you're saying.
No, I don't. And I couldn't watch the Packers, so I just kind of watched Channel 11.
All right. Let's go to Melissa in Phoenix on the Super Bowl. Hi, Melissa. Welcome.
Hi. I was wondering if we could get the technical guys from the Super Bowl to be Sarah Palin's technical guys so her mic would stop working and to just keep going like it wouldn't matter. And also, did you see that Ashton Kutcher was sitting above the bushes in the box at the game and he looked like he wanted to dump his beer on them?
If ever there was a clearer like visual that we got punked by for 8 years by the Bush administration. Ashton Kutcher was involved. I knew it. By the way, speaking of crazy Tea Party people, Julie sends us the breaking news. Rand Paul voted all by his lonely to protect our sacred constitutional right to point handheld lasers at airplanes.
Great.
That intrude into the Freedom Zone airspace over our compounds.
What? Terrific.
Yeah, he was the sole no vote Thursday night on a measure that would make it a federal crime to aim a handheld laser point at an aircraft.
Nice.
He said that that's a state's thing. It's not a government
thing.
Right. Yeah.
You should be able to crash an airplane in some states and not in others.
Yes, exactly.
What?
You know what? Can I just say, Jim, he's turning out to be just as we thought that he might be. Yes. He made his first speech on the Senate floor last week. He used the occasion to proclaim his deep aversion to compromise. So far in the recently convened session of Congress, he appears to be taking his no-compromise speech to heart. He cast the sole vote against the, And he loudly repeated his call for ending aid to Israel, which is probably not going to fly in Republican establishment circles.
No. Oh, no. I'm sure Joe Lieberman was good with that.
Yeah. Norman in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Super Bowl. Hello, Norman.
Hello, Stephanie et al. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to put out the idea that yesterday Green Bay Packers won, and they're owned by the citizens of Green Bay. So they're a socialist team.
Look, the socialists won. Woohoo.
When we work together.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, honey. Yes, the socialist football team won.
What did Sarah Palin have to say about that? Also, to Sputnik.
Golly. In addition to Sputnik. Oh, boy. Don't you think she'd know enough, Jim, to prep a little bit on Egypt, knowing that I'm sure she's going to be
Egypt is a country which has Egyptians in it.
Okay. All right. It was formed by the group the Bengals back around the fall of the Soviet Union, Sputnik. Okay. George Bush at the Super Bowl, you know why? Because he can't go to Switzerland because he might get arrested.
Exactly.
That's right.
Love that.
He canceled a trip to a Jewish charity gala in Switzerland, reportedly out of fears that legal action would be taken against him for his role in authorizing torture.
Yeah, which he bragged about in his book.
Yes.
That's very helpful.
Helpful, thank you.
And the protest organizers called for people to show up at a rally outside the hotel where Bush was to speak, armed with a shoe, recalling the 2008 incident when a disgruntled Iraqi journalist hurled two shoes at the former president.
The group said it was canceling Bush's invitation on security grounds, not due to legal action.
Oh, of course.
Center for Constitutional Rights said, whatever Bush or his hosts say, we have no doubt he cancels his trip to avoid our case. He's avoiding the handcuffs.
Well, he should definitely not go to Holland because he'll have to dodge wooden shoes.
Their shoes are a lot harder.
Yes.
They don't have those nice soft Mephistos over there. boy. Oh, by the way, Bush appointed federal judge tosses out challenge to health reform. Judge Roger Vinson's error-filled opinion was one of the big news stories last week. Yet another opinion signed by George W. Bush-appointed Judge Keith Starrett highlights just how much of an extreme outlier Vinson is and how wrong it was for so many observers to overreact to Vinson's Tea Partying opinion. The Constitution requires a plaintiff to show they will actually be injured by a law that they can challenge it in court, a requirement known as standing. Judge Starrett concluded the plaintiffs in the suit do not demonstrate that the Act's minimum coverage provision, which provides requires most uninsured Americans to pay slightly more income tax, would actually cause them to pay more tax when the law goes into effect. In tossing out this lawsuit, he joins the overwhelming majority of judges who have heard health care challenges. At least 14 lawsuits have been tossed on procedural grounds such as standing. Only four judges have reached the merits of the Affordable Care Act challenge, and two of those suits upheld the law. It's worth noting as well that the absence of standing argument is likely to resonate with conservatives on the Supreme Court. So they may have been celebrating a little early in right-wing circles.
Yeah.
If they do force the healthcare challengers, by the way, to start over again in 2014, that will mean the issue will not reach the justices again until after the act has been fully operational for at least a year. By that point, 32 million Americans will receive health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. It's exceedingly unlikely, according to many experts, that the justices will test their own legitimacy by trying to take that insurance away. So, a little premature in their celebrations, Falcon. Yeah, didn't Bill O'Reilly ask that, Jim? Yeah, what are you going to do if that law goes down? It's going to go down.
It's going to go down. Folks hate it.
Folks say they don't like it.
Folks think it's socialism. Folks hate it because I told them to.
Boy.
Do it live!
All right. All right. We have much more to
do it.
Do
it live. Understand.
I can play
I'll
it write out. It and we'll do it live.
What does this play it out mean? What does this play it out?
That is
delightful. I don't know what that means. I've been in broadcasting all my life. I don't know what it means.
Play us out. What do you mean, play us out?
Do it live. Do it live.
I'll write it myself.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with
I don't have an anger management problem. Shut up.
Cranky pants.
All right. Right back with the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Just another manic Monday. Wish it was
Sunday. We learn something new about Edie every time she's here. Today's Scooby-Doo moment. Go ahead. What is the Scooby-Doo fun fact?
I was Fred's mom on a movie called the Sea Adventure.
Okay.
They went on a cruise ship.
It's a Scooby-Doo movie.
And the pirates took them over and captured me, Mom, and turned me into Sea Salt Sally. A pirate.
An irate pirate?
Irate pirate.
All right, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the number. Deirdre in Annapolis.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
So, I mean, the best moment with O'Reilly and the president was that the president was so handsome and so smart, and O'Reilly tried his darndest, and he couldn't get under his skin at all. All he did was look bad. And the second thing was, over the weekend, I was listening to something, and I think it must have been on NPR, and someone said, "And you've got to get this government out of our lives, and the government is taking over everything." And the interviewer said, "Well, you realize, of course, that we are the government, right?"
I love it. All right. Thank you, honey. Here is the president, Ed O'Reilly.
Here's what I'm not prepared to do. I'm not prepared to go back to a day when the American people, if you've got a pre-existing condition, if you had a heart attack, then you can't get healthy.
Here's what the Wall Street Journal said in react to this quote. "Mr. Obama is a determined man of the left, whose goal is to redistribute much larger levels of income across society. He may give tactical ground when he has to, as he did on taxes to avoid a middle-class tax increase, but he will resist to his last day any major changes to Obamacare and the other load-bearing walls of the entitlement state. This is the Wall Street Journal. You know, painting you as a pretty left-wing guy, you're going to draw
the
line.
The Wall Street Journal probably paint you as a left-wing guy.
No, yeah.
If you're talking about the Wall Street Journal editorial
page, that's what this is. Yeah.
Doy?
What a dolt.
What's a right-wing paper to him? Okay.
And here's what Mein Kampf said about black people.
All right, Mr. President.
All right.
Yeah, was that me or was he being patronizing to the President of the United States?
All right. You can think that in your little socialist Kenyan way, like you do. But here's what the folks think.
Yeah. All right. Okay, speaking of the president, he was talking about the situation in Egypt over the weekend, obviously.
The key question he should be asking himself is, how do I leave a legacy behind in which Egypt is able to get through this transformative period? My hope is that he will end up making the right decision.
I know that it's past our attention span, Edie, and we've had the puppy bowl and all that, so it's hard to focus on Egypt again, but I was quoting one Middle East expert, and I think they're really right about that the president has handled this just about perfectly, that they were saying, first of all, America doesn't have the power to make him go. We just look weak, and if the president would say he has to go now, you know, that kind of bluster that the Bush administration used to engage him, I don't think he can. Do you? I mean, I think he's come as close as he can to saying, I support what's happening, Mubarak has to go. But, I mean, if he's going to, I mean, then what? Then what do you do? Then what's next if he says no? You know?
Well, there is a good thing that I heard about as an Egyptian man who has been here in the United States for quite a while, mm-hmm. Is looked upon as the person who could take over.
Oh, okay.
So he's totally Americanized, which is really great.
Right. But that's what I was saying, Jim. Don't you think, like, that's the mistake we made, whether it was in Israel or whatever? If you rush things sometimes, you know, then you get Hamas or you get Hezbollah
Foment.
Well, democracy is always good, so we got to give them the choice. If they decide they want Hamas, well, good.
Huh? He preferred the fiery kind of freedom, as we remember George Bush.
Though. Freedom to bomb stuff. Blow it up real good. Yeah, waterboarded. What you going to do about it? Well, I guess I can't go to Switzerland. Yeah.
Can't remember that. I remember Sweden, when the spread of freedom was the really, really important thing. Except that it was only the good kind of question when it came to
that.
That
is the force
yes.
of human freedom. Freedom in all the world. Freedom. Freedom's gone. Free dissent without freedom. Human liberty.
Global see, that kind of freedom, of good, that involves freedom. Preemptive unnecessary war,
freedom
good.
To get blowed up. You're welcome.
Oh, boy. Here's an unfortunate headline. Is Ginni Thomas getting rich off Clarence Thomas's Supreme Court decisions?
Yes.
That seems, you know, Jim, I'm not a lawyer, but conflict of interest-y, in my personal opinion.
Seems like someone in the highest court of the land should have to, you know, face some consequences for that.
Yeah.
You know,
Supreme Court spouse and drunk dialer Ginni Thomas has a new job as the head of the Tea Party lobbying firm called Liberty Consulting. Mm-hmm. Her new firm, which promises to give voice to principled citizens and the Tea Party movement in the halls of Congress through governmental affairs efforts, offers a very unusual service to its clients. They offer advice on optimizing political investments for charitable giving in the nonprofit world or political causes. Ginni Thomas's new career advising clients how to donate money to political causes, striking in light of the fact that this career path was much more difficult to break into, you know, before Citizens United decision in which her husband cast the key fifth vote enabling corporations to spend unlimited money influencing U.S. elections. As a result of this vote, outside groups spent nearly $300 million influencing 2010 elections, much of which would have been illegal before Justice Thomas greenlighted this spending. Now Ginni Thomas appears to have found a way to earn money off her husband's actions as a justice. He released countless amounts of corporate spending on U.S. elections, and Ginni Thomas can get rich advising those corporate clients on how to direct that spending. Isn't that nifty?
Yeah.
Gee, and it's not a conflict of interest?
It would seem like it.
Hmm.
Edie, you may have missed whom we think, and it's quite an array to choose from, but of the Republican presidential candidates for 2012.
Oh, please.
Fred. Fred's the, they're calling him the Grizzly Gay.
Sorry?
He's the gay conservative activist that we talked about that's going to run for president.
Oh, not Fred Thompson. Okay,
no!
That's a different Fred.
I'm pretty tired.
No.
think I'll go home now.
I don't even remember Fred's last name now. But he's a, they was one Republican said, Fred is kind of an equivalent to a mama grizzly. He's a grizzly gay.
Wow.
He's a bear.
A bear.
And just the awkwardness alone of the handshaking smarter at the Republican debates bear. Because, you know, all the other candidates will have to get the gay on them and stuff. It's just going to be. And you got to start in Iowa where leading Iowa family group compares homosexuality to secondhand cigarette smoke.
What? Hold.
Hang on. The family leader is a conservative group spearheading the repeal same-sex marriage campaign in Iowa. A slight alteration of the organization's website reveals secondhandeffects.com, a site which describes homosexuality as a public health crisis akin to smoking.
I see.
And endorses discredited ex-gay reversal therapies.
So you'll get the gay on you just from breathing the same air.
The secondhand gay, sure.
Yeah, secondhand gay.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a three-way.
In fact, one doesn't even have to change the URL or search the secondhand effects of same-sex marriage. I signed up for the family leader's email alerts, according to this writer, and was taken to this page, which prominently displayed this website. Secondhandeffects.com offers the following facts about homosexuality. It reduces life expectancy by 20 to 35 years.
Sure.
What? Yikes. Homosexuals are 20 times more likely to be abused by a partner than heterosexuals. CDC reports cancer rate is 90 times higher in homosexual men, while smokers only 10 to 30 times.
Where are they getting their math statistics? Is a little police.
Earlier this year, family leader official Danny Carroll predicted same-sex marriage in Iowa will lead to polygamy and compared gay unions to incest.
Yeah.
That's where the grizzly gay is going to start his campaign.
Grr.
That.
Well, I think those facts are 100% stupid.
You think so? You think so?
And the person who put them out is stupid.
Somebody, Chris, what was this story? Somebody is suing GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah.
A guy says that a pill made him a gay sex addict.
Yep.
Oh.
And he's suing.
He shouldn't have taken the gay Agra.
Yeah, I got them.
Oh, boy. Well, all right. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank the delightful and bubbly Edie McClurg.
Oh, I'm bubbling over.
Pardon me. She just threw up in her mouth a little bit. That's it. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.